The festive mood is still in the air. And as we close the year, hoping for a bright new year, many more messages of best wishes are coming in. But as we look to the future, let's reflect on the year that was. Now, this time around, we feature the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, UN OCHA. And in studio with me is Annette Hearns, Deputy Head of Office Policy OCHA South Sudan. Good morning and happy last day of this year.
Very happy new year to you and all your listeners, and thank you so much for this opportunity. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, the main aim of your office is to strengthen the international response to complex emergencies and natural disasters. Well, South Sudan has quite a number of those this year. How has it been in your response?
Thank you so much. Look, it's an absolute honor and a pleasure to be here to try and share some of that. Across this country, at the beginning of this year, we estimated that almost 8.4 million people were in need. Now, what do we mean by that? We undertake quite a rigorous understanding and assessment of people's needs. So, for example, if you have access to healthcare, but you don't have enough water,
right. That
means for us, we deem you in need.
Mm.
So, with all of that, then, that's how we plan our response. But then abnormal, extraordinary levels of flooding came. There was violence in areas that just wasn't expected. You know, for example, in Tambora, people who are agriculturalists,
yeah,
who are used to providing their own food and being at the land and growing themselves, and now they're displaced,
right,
and now they are in need. So throughout this year, sadly, the needs have grown.
Very sad. So what were the main challenges for the humanitarians in 2021?
Honestly, the main challenges is the scope and scale. I mean, if you think about it, I come from Ireland. Our total population has just made 5 million.
Hmm.
However, in South Sudan, we estimate that 1.4 million children just under the age of 5, that's more than 20% of the total population of my country, that they're undernourished.
Mm.
Almost 500,000 women who are pregnant or lactating, that they're undernourished.
Yeah.
They all need support, but they need individual support. They need to be treated and looked at as a human being, and their care then appropriately tailored in that way.
Mm.
So it's that scope and scale. And of course, the primary responsibility for the care and the well-being of any population and their safety lies with the government of that country. So as the humanitarians, we're here to help and to support in that regard. But that total responsibility doesn't lie with us. But in order to provide that, we have to have the capacity, the resources. So that requires a huge amount of funding. We have a massive workforce that are South Sudanese colleagues. So every day, this morning, we have colleagues who wake up to go out to help their neighbour, to help other South Sudanese. That's so admirable. I just, every single day that our colleagues go out and do this, who take a risk. Remember, we've had 5 colleagues this year who've
died.
Been killed.
Yeah.
South Sudanese. Imagine those families this morning.
And what you do is really admirable. So how many women, children have you been able to reach out this year?
Oh, I can't give you those absolute statistics because today, last day, so as I say, right now, there's women at the water points. There's children who are at the hospitals.
Right.
So we don't know those statistics as an absolute until the end of next year. But let me just tell you on flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So we had over 830,000 people reported as being impacted by flooding.
Right.
Of those, over 620,000 have had their status verified, yes, affected, and have received some assistance. And what we've noticed is a greater proportion of those people are women and children. And that speaks to that vulnerability, how where people live and how they live brings that vulnerability. So I was listening earlier to some of what you were sharing. The climate change impact is real.
Yeah.
And it's here in South Sudan, but it's the normal people who are suffering.
Right, right. Well, and any successes this year that you would like to share with us?
Look, there's lots of successes. The fact that so many people who are in need have been provided and have been served. As the organizations that are out there, the humanitarians, they've reached over 5 million people with some kind of assistance in some way. And that was just between January and October.
Mm-hmm.
And that's especially with protection services. And just to remind listeners, when we speak about protection as humanitarians, what we're speaking about is dignity and humanity.
Right.
It's access to their human rights. So we've had people who at the outset of this year were deemed food insecure, mm-hmm. who've been provided a real strong integrated package of support, not just food, but it's food with water, with healthcare, with nutrition support.
Right.
And also looking at people as a very specific. If you're a female, as we've just talked about, but also imagine if you're older, if you're disabled, mm-hmm. you need very specific tailoring to ensure that what you need is provided.
Right, right. So what are your plans for next year?
Oh, goodness. Well, the first thing we have to do is understand. Understand who needs what, where are they, and then how are we going to organize ourselves to respond? Because as I say, the responsibility of the humanitarians is not to provide for everyone, everywhere. That primary responsibility lies with government. So then we have to be sensible because our resources are also lessening. Mm-hmm. So we need more and more resources to do just the standard of what it is that was required. So our planning is first to understand that. Who has what need? Where are they? And what's the interconnected nature of some of those needs? Then we formulate a strategy. We develop a plan based on that analysis and finding. And then we get out there and we request the donors, who've been extraordinarily generous to the people of South Sudan, to provide the funding that's necessary. And then all of the colleagues who are there, who themselves undertake all of those activities every day to provide for people. And that's in the frame of COVID, of course. But also we've malaria. We have hundreds of thousands of people who have hygiene preventable illnesses, etc. So this has to be done in complementarity. It's not just the humanitarians. We've development actors. We've the peacekeepers. We've the political.
Right.
And that's what we need for people suffering then to be mitigated and prevented.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for making our time to come and speak to us. So what is your message to the beneficiaries, the leaders, and the people of South Sudan?
My message to the people of South Sudan, because all of those categories you've mentioned, Irene, that's who we are. That is the people of South Sudan.
Mm.
I mean, the first message is, my goodness, you're amazing. You're resilient, your coping strategies. I mean, oftentimes I place myself and try and project, if this was me in my own country, would I be able to do this? And I'm not sure I would. So that strength and that courage is amazing. But also my key message is every man, woman, girl, boy, it doesn't matter if you're older, if you've returned, if you're displaced, if you've disability, you have the right to a life here in South Sudan where violence is never an option.
Yeah.
Where there's only that sense of stability and peace, so that you're all building the future today that your child deserves for tomorrow. So it's to look at that smile of every single child. And no matter how much they're suffering, it just always humbles me to see the kids smile. That's what they deserve. We're crafting tomorrow's future.
Right. Annette, thank you so much for your time.